Welcome to Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds, a lively account of Mavis McCovey, a Karuk medicine woman. Our excerpts are read by her niece, Florine McCovey. This episode is titled, The Ability to Heal.
The Ability to Heal. My grandmother, Nancy Evans Ferris, was born in 1873 and was a doctor for Indian women and children all her life. She looked more like a dark white person than an Indian. She had fine features, fine hair, and long, thin fingers. She looked aristocratic like her father, Henry Evans, that kind of aesthetic look. She was tall and slender, about 5 feet, 7 inches, with a flat, angular body, long arms, and little, slim feet. When Grandpa built a house for her, he built the drain board in the kitchen to where it was up to my chest, and I'm 5 feet, 4 inches tall. Grandma Nancy delivered babies and stayed with the mothers for about 2 weeks until they were up and around, and the baby was doing well. Then she would come home. Aunt Caroline said she would wake up in the morning and her mother would have left something during the night and be away delivering a baby. She said Grandma left the children all the time to do her doctoring. She says she guessed it would be called child abuse now. Grandma was the kind of Indian doctor who treated her patients with medicine from the herbs she picked. She worked with the medicine man who prescribed the dosage, and then she made the medicine. She never prescribed the dosage. She knew which plants to use, but the medicine man said how much of the plant was to be given. She gathered medicine and dried it in little bunches hanging from the lower branches of the walnut tree in the back of the house. I guess it didn't dry too fast there, because beneath the walnut tree it's always kind of damp. But that's just my guess, because no one ever told me. One thing I learned right away was if they didn't tell you, you don't ask. You didn't ask if you were a child. Even if you're an adult, you don't ask. And if you're an adult and you ask the wrong question, the medicine people will not answer you. You have to ask the right question. And you can't be a child and expect answers to your questions. They didn't answer children very much. They would explain a little bit, kind of just over the top of it. It's a matter of the need to know. There would be no need for me as a child to know how to do Grandma's medicine, because I wasn't going to be an Indian doctor. Grandma always got paid in food and never got money, ever. Auntie Caroline said she remembered when she was a little kid getting up in the morning and going out to wash her hands and face at the water tank. When she walked across the porch, there would be a deer hanging from the rafters or a salmon or something else left for payment. She said she never knew who left it, but her mother always knew who had paid. It didn't make any difference whether they paid or not. She still took care of them. There were all kinds of medicine people with different practices, and they would not give advice to people practicing other kinds of medicine. The Fatewainan's woman was another type of medicine woman, and the woman who trained me were this type of medicine woman. My Aunt Caroline picked up her medicine to become a doctor one summer when she was home from school in Hoopaw. This was around 1908. She stayed in a sweat lodge outside Camp Creek near the dance grounds at Tishonic and didn't eat solid food for 10 days. Then she went to Dr. Rock and danced day and night for 3 days by herself. For these 3 days, her medicine woman helper stayed camped down below her and sang and prayed while my aunt made medicine. When she would hear Auntie start to sing and pray, then she would start her own singing and dancing, and she would go up to Auntie's camp and keep her fire going. She tended the fire, and all Auntie had to do was sit up there and pray and fast and smoke a pipe, which is part of the praying process. The spirit world offered her gifts, like power to see visions and power to heal, the power to take away pain, the power to change someone's vision of what is going on to a more positive vision, changing their mind. We always called it turning their face around, and numerous other powers. like she could use telepathy to talk into your mind. Whether that was a gift she always had or whether she picked it up, I have no idea. It may have been a gift she had naturally, which was improved through going to Dr. Rock. Those are just a few of the things that she picked up, and she said that she picked up too much. That's why she got so sick. I don't know what all of her gifts were because I'm not a doctor, and I've never had that training. She told me about getting these gifts and bringing back too many because she kept thinking, well, that would help if I could do that. That would help if I could do that. This would be great. I'll take this one. And she just kept gathering up gifts, like picking flowers. She said she picked up too many gifts, and she tried to carry them all back to this side. She got it all back, but it almost killed her. She understood later that she shouldn't have taken so much, but she was young, and she didn't realize that, because all of the gifts are good and could help the people that she would serve as Indian doctor. So all these gifts you pick up aren't for you, they are to help the people. That's why it took her so long to come back into herself, and why it was really hard. She told me, if you ever get in that situation, make sure that you really need what you're picking up for what you're doing. Be more careful about what you pick up than I was. That was her medicine experience, but she did have a lot of power. When she had finished making the medicine, she put her pipe under Dr. Rock like you're supposed to and came back down from Elk Valley and collapsed. She said she was semi-comatose for 2 weeks and Uncle Peter kept her alive during this time. She was lying in the sweat house and could see people outside the sweat house, like there were no walls between them. Everything turned out all right. I imagine Peter Tom probably gave her acorn water, but think mostly he just prayed and made medicine that way to keep her alive. And it wouldn't be him who was feeding her. It would be the woman who was her helper. The people outside the sweat house weren't just waiting to see how she would do. They were also waiting to hear what she was going to tell them, because she would have had a vision when she came back from making the medicine. She never told me what it was that she saw. She just never went into that. She told me a lot of things, but she never went into what she saw when she picked up her medicine. Auntie never went on to practice being a doctor like her mother had. She had the power and the divine gifts, but someone in her family was jealous of her. She never said who, but if you have someone in your family working against your medicine, it's hard enough when everyone's pulling for you. But if someone is against you, you usually just lay it down and don't do anything. You do some things, but you don't go out and go house to house doctoring people. But some people would come and she would work with them. That work was very low key and very exclusive, very careful.
Listen to Medicine Trails. Our next excerpt is called It's Hard to Be Psychic. Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds. The Stories of Mavis McCovey was produced by KIDE-FM for National Native American Heritage Month with the permission of Mavis McCovey, John Sotler, and Heyday Books, Berkeley, California. Our music melody by Dr. Kashan Laura Cooper.